receive Brother Lumpkin by saying, God bless Brother Lumpkin.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. I was given a rather quick look through this calendar of mine to see when I was in this fine church the last time. And I hadn't been here since last year, I don't think. So I'm not wearing my welcome out. Amen. It's so good to be here. And, of course, Brother Rutledge always tends to lend a little bit of humor and some things, you know. And it's true, he is getting old, too old for the superintendent's job. And I know there's been lots of you that have called me and urged him to run. But, no, you haven't, brother. That's a story, brother Rutledge. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And if my wife does get petrified in the pulpit, she seemed to have taken some kind of pill before she got here tonight, because she did pretty good, didn't she? She stayed for a while and enjoyed the testimony. Well, we have to drive from here to El Dorado tonight after service and have a pretty busy time the rest of the week, but we wanted to come tonight and be with Brother Rutledge and call him and ask him if he was in revival. Anything of that nature, and he said he wasn't. And so he invited us to come after I asked him if I could. Praise the Lord. And Brother Rendell, that song, that trio, that was beautiful. I didn't remember you writing the one Brother Wall sang, but those songs were so good. Girls sang beautifully tonight. Amen. What talent. Thank the Lord. Brother Morgan used to say when he got to heaven, they had an angelic choir, he was going to send in his own request for himself to sing, you know. Yeah. But he knew he was going to have to get a glorified body before anybody would ever enjoy it. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. If I could sing and play like some of these people, I've heard of God doing some miracle to people sometime. I've heard stories of people never able to play a note on a piano and going over and sitting down and start playing a piano. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but if they said it is, I'll believe it, you know, especially if they got the Holy Ghost. But I've often wished that they would that something like that could happen to me. But you know there's usually a price to pay for something like that. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. This looks like a good Wednesday night service with a home crowd and God's people gathered in here to worship the Lord on Wednesday evening. I agree with what one of the brethren said up here tonight. Sometime you can come to the house of God rather weary in body and tired from the activities of the day or the week. But there is something refreshing that oftentimes happens to you. You know, and I believe that. I really believe that. I believe that when the presence of the Lord is poured out in a congregation or an assembly, that there are blessings that come with it that add strength. I've heard say that it's wonderful to be around somebody when they get the Holy Ghost, because you never know what God's going to do for those that are praying for that one. I've even heard it said that something biologically can happen to a person. A touch of God spiritually, a touch of God physically to a man or a woman when they are seeking the Lord with somebody else. So it pays to go to the altar. And it pays to pray.
Amen.
I wrote down a few little things here tonight. The Lord will help me. I'll just, one thing I've always been able to do in this pulpit, and that's be myself. I don't have to impress anybody. I have no dynamic reputation to lose to begin with. So, I really don't have to worry like that kid. But at any rate, there are some things in life that really make a difference. And when I said a dynamic reputation, I have a pretty good reputation, but I don't mean as a Billy Sunday, you know, or Marvin Rutledge or somebody like that. Praise God. But some things in life really make a difference. You know, I don't know where I read this before, but somewhere or another I read where a man was building his house on the sand. Now, I know I've read that in the Bible, but I was reading an application of it in some other little news weekly somewhere. And in this particular case, they were building the house on the sand because it was a lot quicker to build a house on the sand. You didn't have to worry about the foundation if you built it on the sand. And obviously, it had to be dry at that time. A beautiful foundation. Classified section, and you're out if you built it on the sand. And obviously, it had to be dry at that time. So, they said, just build the house on top of the ground. And, you know, if you look into the classified section and you're out job hunting, or rather house hunting, and you're looking for a house and you're going through the ads, it never does say beautiful foundation.
No.
18 inches wide, 24 inches deep. You ever read an ad like that to find a house? Steel reinforcement in the footing. In addition, foundation poured on top of solid rock. 2200 South 6th Street. Come and look. Well, you don't usually read an ad like that. But the ad does say usually three beautiful bedrooms, you know, spacious, closets galore. Two and a half baths, spacious country kitchen. Breakfast bar, humongous den with cathedral ceiling, 8x8 walnut stained beams, and so sun porch, Florida room, whatever that is, double garage, storm cellar, can be entered from within the house as well as the outside. Well, you see that kind of ad, it gets your attention. You just hope it's got a good foundation. Really, some things in life make a lot of difference, is what I'm trying to say. The rich man, another man I read about decided to build a house, and he ordered his shingles first. He laid his shingles on the ground. Somebody said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a house." And he is nailing his shingles to the ground, you know. Well, it makes the difference where you nail your shingles, doesn't it? You know, some things in life make a difference. It would be quite ridiculous to go out and see somebody nailing their shingles on the stand. You know, makes a difference. I got up this morning, and my wife and I sat down for a few minutes together. Went up to the living room, and not often we sit up there. I don't know why we don't. We got the couch paid for a couple months ago. It ought to be all right to sit there now, but Anyway, we were there and we were drinking a cup of coffee. If that doesn't violate any of your convictions, we were doing that. And I said, I think I am hungry for a good breakfast. And so we went in, had a good breakfast together. And always kidding waitresses about yard eggs. I'm always commenting, do we have yard eggs today or do we have those store-bought eggs, you know? But I think there's a difference. Amen. You know, peanut butter is good. I don't like it by itself. I like it with a piece of bread or cracker and half a gallon of water. Some things make a difference when you eat. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Power steering, power brakes, you know, power door locks, power this, power that, power payments, everything power. You got it all out there, but there's no gas in the tank, you know. Some things in life make a difference.
That's
right. Not going to go anywhere. Some things really make a difference. Your home can be beautiful. It can be. Beautiful carpet, beautiful bedrooms, living room, dining room, den. You can have closets and you can have clothes crammed into them. You can have garages with cars parked in it. But a house without love really makes a difference. Amen. Really makes a difference. A courtship can be wonderful. A wedding can be beautiful. A honeymoon can be exciting. But a marriage without love really makes a difference. And the Bible says when love is in it, God is in it.
Amen.
Love then is respectful and love is kind. Love is gentle and love is patient and is cooperative and not self-centered, egotistical and obnoxious and all of those things. The Bible goes ahead to say let love be without dissimulation or without pretense, you know. Let it be without pretense. Oh, he's such a gentleman in public, in front of others, he's a perfect man. But when he's alone with his wife and children, he's a real devil, you know. All right. Without deception, let love be without pretense, without deception, and without hypocrisy. Love makes a difference. Now, I've said all of that to say there are some things in life that really make a difference. And it is a great, great difference flying over the Golden Gate Bridge in California and looking at it from 6,000 feet up. And later on, coming down and being able to drive across it in a car or walk underneath it, as I've had the privilege to do, and see the difference. It is quite a difference cramming out or looking over someone out the porthole window of a jet airplane and looking at it through there and then being there where it is. There's just a lot of difference in flying into New York City at night and seeing that beautiful multi-millions of all types of colored lights on the clearance walks of the city. Quite a saw it from the sky, 6,000 feet up, a vast gulf, as it were. Later on, I was able to pull up to the side of it and see it with my wife and brother and sister Morgan many, many years ago when we were traveling to California, and it was quite a difference. Well, I'm just saying there are a lot of things in life that make a difference, church. Praise the Lord. And in the second book of Samuel, the sixth chapter, this is David seeking to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And then the 14th verse says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with a shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, Brother Lumpkin, what do you say? You just kind of ramble here a little bit, talking about nailing shingles to the ground and reading about classified ads in the paper and flying over the Golden Gate Bridge and looking at it from up there and being down there where it was, driving up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, comparing it with being up there in an airplane and flying over the metroplex of New York City and then walking the streets and talking about a difference. What a great difference it is. What actually I'm trying to say, looking at it from up there and then being there is such a difference. And what I just read to you out of the Bible about a man named David and a lady named Michal, who happened to be his wife. It is a picture in those few verses of Scripture, if you picked it up while I was reading it, two people doing two different things, Brother Rutledge. One of them dancing and rejoicing with all his might. 14th verse said, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Everybody say, all his might.
All his might.
David did that. And Saul's daughter, 16th verse, the Bible says, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. One dancing, one praising God, one magnifying his Creator with all his might, and the other one looking through a window. What a difference. What a difference. Amen. Some things in life really make a difference. And in this case, what a difference. David danced, Michal looked through a window. Looking through a window and being on the street is quite a difference. You know, sometimes when we get a little excited, maybe we're in revival here at Apostolic Church here in Pine Bluff, let's say, and we've got an evangelist like Robert Bayer preaching, and he's about to raise the roof off of the ceiling, and people are driving down the street and hear the racket and the praises and the music and all, and right away, if he happens to be a reporter, if he's of a frame of mind to do so, he might pick up his pen, and the next day on the yellow, or rather the religious pages, he might have said, I passed by such and such a church last night. Those folks sounded like they were really spiritually intoxicated. They seemingly had uncontrolled emotion, and they were worked up to a frenzy, and they were hypnotized almost, it sounded like. Religious fanaticism's bound to have set in, and a spiritual hysteria just seemed to grip that place from the sound that was coming through the window. But it's such a difference trying to figure it all out, throw the wall through a window, and being down there where the action really is. Praise the Lord. You know that little oblong chest that I was reading about, David bringing the ark up, it was sure getting a lot of attention around all of the inhabitants of that countryside. And a lot of history involved there. Matter of fact, you could look back a few chapters and just read numerous for instances about things relative to that little oblong chest.
Right.
One fellow says, why, 50,070 men at one time in a place called Beth Shemesh were smitten for just simply opening it up, looking at it, see what was in it.
Oh, my
God. Amen. They wanted to see what was in it. And I can just imagine a couple of bystanders standing on the sidelines talking about that oblong chest. Maybe they referred to that 50,000 men that had been smitten as a result of looking into it. And they were telling that, man, that thing's crazy. You, there's something weird about all of this, you know. And perhaps they went ahead to say, why, they even say there's a pot of manna in that thing, a table of stone. They're talking about some fellow named Aaron whose rod there budded. And they talk about a lot of things, but I heard somebody talk something about it, make me call it poison, because one man died for just touching it, you know. And say, they're talking about all this, but you have to say, hold on, buddy, hold on a minute. You don't understand. You're looking through a glass darkly. You don't have a clear vision of it. You see, that ark and the contents of that ark are symbolic of the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is something that He intends for you to be sensitive about.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You don't fool around with the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Hallelujah. You don't fool around with the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
You don't take the presence of the Lord lightly.
Right.
You don't handle it with unclean hands.
Yes.
Praise God. And when you have anything that is symbolical of the presence of the Lord, you need to handle that gently and handle that respectfully and handle that tenderly. Handle that compassionately. I'd hate to be a man or be in the shoes of a man or a woman that sit back in the house of God and are observers and critics of what all goes on in the house of God when things happen that relate to the presence of the Lord. You need to be careful how you refer to the presence of the Lord, how you act around the presence of the Lord, and what you think about the presence of the Lord. Be glad that you are not observing it through a window. Be grateful for the day that the Pentecost came your way. Hallelujah. You were able, praise God, to take advantage of it. The presence of the Lord does strange things. It makes some people laugh, and it makes some people cry. It makes some people sing. It makes some people shout. The presence of the Lord can, in some cases, draw men and women to an altar. On the other hand, the presence of the Lord can drive some people out of the house of God from a critical viewpoint. I'm not observing it from a long way off. I have been made a partaker, praise the Lord, of the blessings of God that have come my way as a result of getting to a place in my life where I did not want to sit back and just be a participant looking through a window. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to anybody? Praise God. If you're here tonight and you're just looking through a window, you're just looking through a window, let me invite you to come on down to the river. Hallelujah. Joshua said, you've not passed this way before. There's something to dance about. There's something to shout about. The ark is moving. Pack up and follow the ark. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm glad I'm what I am tonight. I'm glad I'm living where I'm living. I wouldn't want to exchange positions with anybody tonight. I wouldn't want to be in any other generation than what I'm in right now. I'm happy, praise God, that my spiritual windshield wipers have been working. Hallelujah. That the spray mist that I need to keep my eyeballs clean is working. Hallelujah. And I'm able to know what I need to have in order to exist prior to the sound of the trumpet. Those poor apostates can't even enjoy a lucky strike. No, sir. Can't do nothing. That preacher teaches holiness. He teaches no makeup, long hair on women. You don't want our ladies to look like two pigeons have been roosting in their hair for about a year.
I have seen some hair do like that.
Amen. I've seen ponytails on men. God don't like it. And if God don't like it, I don't either. And if God likes it, I wouldn't. Praise you. Hallelujah. No, God, you forgive me if that's the case. I don't mean that. Poor apostolic can't smoke. They don't know what it's like to go down to the Holiday Inn or wherever at 5 and participate in the happy hour. 5 to 7. Buy one, get one free. Cocktails, something on the rocks or whatever it is. I forgot all about. Can't even have a shot of Four Roses. Not even a cool glass of Bud. Think about it. Those poor people. They're the preacher just hammering over the head all the time. Don't do this and don't do that. Can't gamble. Can't do a. Hey, don't worry about that, friend. If you're out there, not you, but somebody that might be walking down the street, perhaps, and they're worried about whether or not we're enjoying ourselves or not, if they're worrying about whether or not we're getting a little bit of thrill out of life, they just need to understand we're not looking at it like that. We're not looking at it through a window. No, sir. We have been made a partaker. God Almighty has broken down the middle wall of partition. He has separated us from that world. He has allowed us to walk into the Holy of Holies. And we're able to be clean and wholesome and pure and undefiled. Glory to God. And able to walk with Him and dance, as it were, as that oblong chest leads the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. David danced with all his might. And Michael looked through a window. She despised him in her heart. You just can't serve God easy. If you try to, it's mighty hard. But if you live for Him hard, it's mighty easy. Glory to God. It's just that simple. Glory to God. She looked at him through the window and she despised him. When you try to get a clear vision of something through a window, it never is as clear as it ought to be in comparison to getting right down there where it is. Hallelujah. I suppose that you and I have been an observer when the children of Israel marched around Jericho. If there had been a Jericho Daily News that day passed out, especially on that seventh day, newspapers would be referring to those that were marching as fanatics, marching around the city, and all the great citizens of the mighty fortress of Jericho were laughing from the walls, making their gestures, commenting from way up there in that fortified fortress. You Israelites, you met your match. We just don't believe everything we've heard. We've heard all about your victories in the past, but you've never come up against a fortress like this. There never has been a fortress too big for our God. You know that as well as I do. And if there had been any comment that could have been echoed back to the children of Jericho as they stood on that wall, hey, friend, you're looking through a window. You are looking through a window. You've got eyes to see and you see not. You've got ears to hear and you hear not. And I might borrow the comment from old Brother Bear one more time around the walls, children. Yeah. Hallelujah. You got eyes to see and you see not.
Right.
Ears to hear and you hear not. Again, through a window.
Amen.
They don't understand. They don't realize that we used to have a portable cafeteria that divine providence set up for us in the wilderness. That we had waiters and waitresses provided by Jehovah God. They don't remember a pillar of cloud, a glory cloud that used to follow us by day, or a pillar of fire by night. They don't know about that mountain mobile waterworks that used to just hump along behind us every time we moved. You see, Israelites, they don't understand that. One more time around the wall, they're looking through a window. They're going to realize who Jehovah God is. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. Are you in the church, good saint of God, like you ought to be? Are you behind your pastor? Are you behind the program of the church? Prayer meetings, Bible studies, door knocking, witnessing. Are we really in it like we ought to be? Or are we looking through a window? I read an interesting thing over in 2 Kings, I believe it was, about the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, a while back. You've read this many times. This is when Elisha reveals Ben-Hadad's plans. King of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "Such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent unto the king of Israel and said, "Beware that you don't pass certain place, for thither the Syrians have come down." And therefore the heart of the and the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself, the Bible said. Not once, not twice, it must have been 3 or 4 times. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants. He said, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. He telleth the king of Israel the words that thou doest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "You go spy where he is, and I may send fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "He's in Dothan." And therefore this king sent horses and chariots and a great host, a big army. They came by night, and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early and was gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city. Got up and looked around, and he saw that host, and he saw those horses, and he saw those chariots. And in his petrified condition, he screamed out to his master, "Alas, my master, how shall we do, or what shall we do?" And the man of God answered and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And then he said, "Elisha." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he might see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And when he looked out the window that night, he saw something different than what he had seen the first time he looked. The Bible said he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to know the God that can wipe the cobwebs from the eyes. It's a miracle that God ever found us and brought us, praise the Lord, to the house of prayer and allowed us to be what we're able to be today. Glory to God. Oh, isn't God's house a wonderful place to come? Didn't somebody say that earlier tonight? David said, "How amiable thy tabernacles, O Lord. How tender, how gentle, how gracious, how easily imposed on, how willing, how lovely." If you start looking up that word amiable, you'll need one legal page, 2 columns long, to get the words, amen, that just describe that word amiable. David said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Praise God. I'm glad for the day that God let me see not through a window, but into the tabernacle of God and find out how amiable they are. When you find out just what the church means to you, then like David also, he could say, and we can say, when passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. What are you talking about, David? Well, David's not trying to describe a geographical location as much as he's trying to tell us about an experience. Hallelujah. And there are negative experiences that come along in our life. But oh, friend, when we're not trying to serve God through a window, when we're not trying to look at Him from a long way off,
when we realize what the Church of the Living God means to us, then whatever experience comes our way, we can lift up our heads and throw our shoulders back and say, when passing through the valley of Baca, Lord, I will remember how amiable my tabernacle is. And I'll not serve you through a window, but I'll serve you with all my heart. Hallelujah. I'll pack up and move when the ark moves. I'll go down to the river every time the water's troubled. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Let's stand and praise Him tonight, shall we? Glory to God. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the house of God. I thank you for the tabernacle. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after all the days of my life, that I might dwell in that amiable tabernacle. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We love you. Would you lift both hands and thank Him for your church? Thank Him for your church tonight. Thank Him for the house of God tonight. Thank Him that you ever found Him in this house.